sing to the King of Kings, and we'll sing, sing, sing Hosanna to the Kings. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll go to the Lord in prayer before we read his word. But I welcome you today to worship the Lord Jesus. He is our God. Amen. That's why we're here, to worship him. But Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 8. But let's bow our heads one more time to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful that we can worship you today. And Lord, we believe that we have come to worship you in spirit and in truth. And that's how you want to be worshiped, Lord. And Lord, help us, Father, to live the life that you want us to live here, Lord. I ask you to bless the service in a special way, O God. Lord, we need you, Father. We live in a dark world. We live in an age of mass deception, Lord, where the devil's running rampant, Lord. Deliver us, O God. Save us from this wicked generation. Help us to see the truth, Lord. If there's one in our midst that does not know you through the way of the new birth, may today be the day that you would come and visit them in a mighty way, and by an experience of the Holy Ghost, they would know that this is real, O God. Help us all today. Draw us all closer to yourself. Wash us with the blood of Calvary. Make us whiter than snow. Lord, I give myself to you now. Take control of my being and my thoughts and my words. And may you come and visit us, Lord. Bless the reading of your word now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. I just want to read a few verses here. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Well, I'm happy to be here today, and I trust that you're here for one purpose, and that's to hear from God, not from me, because we realize God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that were lost. That's in the scripture. So God realized that to the world that preaching would look foolish, but God likes to hide himself in things that the world doesn't recognize. So today, with that understanding, we want to break through. We want to break through the veil, that is to say, the flesh of man, and try to hear what the Word of God is saying to us today. I'm praying that the Lord will help us to get out of the way, because there's something here that is just pressing on me, and I hope that it helps you in some way today. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I want to speak about that from that verse 11, where it says the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God's eternal purpose, what is that? What is God's eternal purpose? You know, I feel that, you know, sometimes we have ambitions and desires and goals in this life, but really, as Christians, And if you are a Christian, it should be lined up with what His purpose is. Amen. Not necessarily separate from God's purpose, but we should seek God with all of our heart to understand His purpose, His general purpose, and then what's His purpose for our life. And I'm so grateful that I have a revelation in my heart that there is an Almighty God. And that He has a purpose and a plan. And then, what a greater revelation it is to have and say, I believe I'm part of that plan. I believe that I'm part of what He's doing. That's a great thing to understand that. And to have had an experience with God. And I can say by the grace of God that I had an experience with God, and He touched me, and I was going the wrong way, and I had no desire to change, and one day He touched me. And He changed everything that I thought was important. He changed all of my desires and ambitions, totally changed, and I'm so glad for that, because all of my desires were vain, and they were just worldly, and they were empty desires, where when God shows you truth and you start to see His plan and His purpose, then He changes your desires into greater, something higher than just, you know, well, I want to make a lot of money. I want to have a nice car. I want to have a big house, and I want to have all these things. And I, you know, there's really, you know, there's so many people in this world going the wrong way. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. So we have to go against the grain as Christians. So I really, when I was reading these scriptures, I really wanted to read the whole book of Ephesians. And I thought, well, that's going to take too long. And you know how I am. I like to read a lot of scripture. So as a homework assignment, I want you to read the whole book of Ephesians. It's not that long. But my what the assignment is not just to read it, but to try and pray and say, God, what is the theme? What is the message? What is the overall thought that is being projected here? You know, that's what we should be trying to catch from God. What is the thought of God? What is God's thoughts to us? What is His word to us? The thoughts of God expressed to us. And I believe God has a word for us. He has a thought that He's trying to say to us if we're listening. Now we say, well, why does God do it this way or that way? I can't explain God. Who can explain this great being and the choices that He made? He, you know, from a carnal point of view, His choices don't look like they make any sense. But if you step back and you get plugged into the Spirit of God, you can start to see the nature of God and the way He does things. And it's very unusual. So this is to go along with the theme we've been on about the attributes of God and the nature of God. I want to talk today about God's eternal purpose. And I believe that His purpose was to live in us. Not just to create us and then we would live and be separate from Him. But listen, if you believe there is a God, a creator of everything, and that He existed before angels existed. He existed before the universe existed. And He was an all-knowing, all-powerful God. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that there is a God and there's only one God.
Amen.
And I don't believe there's many gods. I believe there's one God. Amen. And I believe His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's because when this great eternal being wanted to reveal Himself to His creation, He had... But He didn't live in time, but let's just, in our dimension, we'll say He had a lot of time to think about it.
Amen.
He could have, in His great mind, the mind of God that we'll never understand fully, in this great mind, he could have spent eons and eons. In other words, not just years, not just thousands, not just millions or billions or trillions, but He could have had eons of time to think about what is the best way for me to project my life to my creation. Have you ever thought about that? I don't believe He made any mistakes.
Right.
This God knew the end from the beginning. How do we ever understand that?
Amen.
How did he, from before he ever created anything, he knew everything that would ever exist. He knew every person that would ever exist. He knew every fly and every bat and every insect and every animal and every human being.
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say he knows all the stars and he named every one of them? He knows. I mean, we look at the stars and get overwhelmed.
Amen.
But he has names, and you know what? He knows your name.
Amen.
God knows you, and what can happen to us as humans, because we're just limited, we can start to think, well, I don't matter to God. But see, that's just very limited in your view, because you're looking at things like a human being, not like this great God. Do you realize that I love to look at that time as a dimension that we live in. So we can't break out of time. We think in time. Time matters to us because, you know, when it's gone, it's gone. But see, God lives outside of time. You understand that? And so he could, you know, for us, I don't know how to describe this, but I believe this is true. You know, time just moves in a straight line for us. We, you know, we were here when we were younger, and we're growing older and older and older, and time's moving, right? It's just moving in a straight line. Just picture a line. Time's moving. But see, God, because he's infinite, he can take one moment in time and move the other way.
Amen.
You see, he can spend your whole life with you.
Amen.
Think about that. See, that's how, you know, he's omnipresent, because he's all-knowing and he's not bound by time. He's a being, I believe. You know, like Brother Branham was saying in a tape we were listening to on Thursday about how someone said, well, he's omnipresent, so he's everywhere. And he said, no, he doesn't fill every crack and crevice, or else why would we need to receive the Holy Ghost? God is a being. See, and he's omnipresent because he's omniscient, because he's all-knowing. So he sees everything, he knows everything. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, it's impossible for us to capture the nature of God or to discuss everything about God. And, you know, words fail us. Our mind is limited. But I believe there is a God.
Amen.
And he is eternal. He never had a beginning. He never had an end. And I believe he has a purpose.
Amen.
This eternal purpose. And yes, I do believe that as we were taught, and Christ is the mystery of God revealed from a vindicated prophet, I believe with all my heart that God's purpose, threefold purpose, was a mystery. And the first purpose of God was to reveal his life through Jesus Christ. And I think anybody that's studied the life of Jesus, that's had an experience with Jesus Christ, realizes God did a perfect job. We look at such a short life, a 3.5-year public ministry, and yet what God revealed and the things that were said are so wonderful and so beautiful. You know, as Perry Green, our precious brother that went to be with the Lord, as he used to say, and I love this thought. Just think about this, and don't be critical, but just think. He would say, now this sounds heretical, but if Jesus didn't exist, now we know he existed, okay? But if Jesus never existed, whoever thought him up should be worshipped. See, now we know he existed. But the point is this, God thought up Jesus Christ. That is the manifestation of the life of God.
Amen.
It is the display. It is the life, eternal life, made manifest in human flesh. He is God.
Amen.
He's not the second person. I know there's many people caught up in that idea. But see, the Bible teaches us, the Bible's the truth, that it says he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
All that God was, he poured into Jesus Christ. And Christ said, I'll be with you, even in you. How is he in us? By the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Jehovah of the Old Testament, the Father God, is the Jesus of the New. Now that's a revelation, and a lot of people don't have that. And you hear people saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they say, well, that's exactly what he said to do in Matthew 28:19. He said, go ye therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the ones that were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they didn't baptize and say, I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They actually did exactly what Jesus taught when they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And his name is Jesus Christ. Father's not a name. I'm a father. My name's John. Son's not a name. So when someone actually literally baptizes, I baptize you, and I realize there's many people under this. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They actually don't do it.
Amen.
And in the book of Acts, and all through the New Testament, and all through church history, until they had some council of man, 300 AD, they would baptize in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, why is that so important, Brother John? Why are you emphasizing that? Because it's about a revelation of who God is. He's not three persons. We're not going to go up there and see three. The Lord our God is one. There is one Savior all through the Old Testament. There is one God. There's one Savior. Now, if the God of the Old Testament is the one Savior, well, who's Jesus if he's a different person? It's two Saviors. Mary's not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. What a wonderful revelation that is to have. See, and I don't believe it's a little one. I think it's important. So we're talking about God. And today I want to talk about that attribute of Savior.
Amen.
Last week we talked about his faithfulness. And aren't you glad to know that God is so faithful?
Amen.
Even when we mess up and we're not completely faithful, he's still faithful to us.
Amen.
And he still loves us.
Amen.
And he makes a way for us to come back to him.
Amen.
And he draws us back to himself.
Amen.
And I love that about God, that I don't believe God's there looking to find fault with us. As the image that some people create in God of a very angry God, of a very hard God. No, when I think of God, I think of Jesus. And Jesus was filled with love. Yes, he corrected the false religions in a severe way. He corrected the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those things. But how did he deal with sinners? He had mercy on them. How did he deal with the sick? He healed them. The blind, he opened their eyes. He's the heart of God. Jesus is the heart of God, and he's a deliverer. The heart of God is to be a deliverer, to be a savior. And we as Christians must remember that God's great eternal purpose was to reveal himself through Jesus Christ. But then the second great mystery purpose was for him to live in us. That same spirit that was in Christ, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken. The quickening power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not an imaginary idea. The Holy Ghost is not an intellectual conception. The Holy Ghost doesn't come by going to a seminary and learning from other men, ideas of men. The Holy Ghost is an experience with God where because you believe in his death on Calvary, that spirit that was in him comes back into you. And that's the literal life of God. The same life that was in Jesus. The same spirit that was in Jesus literally comes back into you and I and lives again. Lives again. That's, to me, the great purpose of God. And when this great being lives in you, he has a purpose and a desire to do what? To manifest himself again. See, I don't believe if Jesus lives in us, that and we're letting him have preeminence, and I'll qualify that, and if we're letting the Holy Ghost have preeminence in us, if we our purpose is his purpose, you know, if we line up with his purpose, we line up with his desires, we line up with his preferences, which are in the Word of God, right? If we line up with what he wants, I don't believe we're going to just hide him.
Amen.
That's not what he wants. Let this little light shine. Let your light shine. Let men see the good works. Let men see me working through you. If I be lifted up on Calvary, I'll draw all men unto me. And if he's risen up in us, that'll draw men to Jesus Christ. Because listen, his life is beautiful. He is beautiful. His spirit is sweet and lovely and kind. And he's filled with love and peace and joy and long-suffering and goodness, patience. Don't we want him to live in us?
Amen.
Why would we not want him to live in us? And I always think of, I've told the story a million times about my little boy Luke. Now he's 20-some years old. How old is Luke? He's 23 years old. But when he was a little boy, just say 10 years old, and just say I'd be sitting in my living room with talking to Jamie about the things of God or just anything. That little boy, he knew I loved him so much that because he was the sixth out of seven. So by the time he came along, I was like a grandfather already, right? So he comes into the living room. I'll never forget how many times it happened. We'd have company, Maureen knows it's true. And that little boy would come and he would sit down right on my lap and he'd put his head right here. He felt comfortable because he knew I loved him. He knew I wasn't going to say, get away from me, kid. You know, that's the Jesus some people project today. Put it away. That's not the Jesus in the Bible. John, right? The disciple John, right? He said that he put his head right on his breast. So I challenge you, what kind of man was Jesus? Was he hard man? Did he project like holier than now? Or was he filled with love? My Bible says God is love. I believe he came to be a Savior. He came to be the Lamb of God. And yes, God has justice and righteousness and holiness and standards. But you know, there was so much love in God. He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to pay the price. For everybody's sins, I'm going to pay it myself. Now that's a love we need to have. A love that is self-sacrificing. A love that is not selfish. A love that doesn't say, you have to do what I want or else I'm not happy with you. He says, I love you no matter what you do. I'm making a way of escape for you. Lord, help us to find the way of escape. Lord, help us to come to God his provided way.
Amen.
And not be like many that say, well, I'll come to God, but I'll come my way. That's trouble. You're not going to find him. Why? Because he resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So I want to talk about God today, and I realize there's no way to finish it because there is no end and there is no beginning. So you pray for me, and my desire is that we just love him so much and appreciate him so much that we want him to live in us and not only save us, but have preeminence in us. See, because I believe somewhere within us there is a choice. We had a choice to come here today or not. We had a choice many times, and you know, when you go very deep and talk about election and predestination, you start to get, well, did I have any choice? But listen, just get down where you live. Did you have a choice today when you got up in the morning? You had choices. You're making choices. So don't get too caught up in theology and just realize we can choose to yield to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I believe there's a measure of grace given to each of us. Now, it may be different for others, so don't look to your left or the right. Maybe God gave you such an abundant amount of grace that actually you have the capacity to really yield to the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And you're looking over at somebody maybe that didn't have the same grace given to them. Amen. And you're saying, well, I'll yield when they yield. Mm-hmm. That doesn't, you know... Comparing them amongst themselves, they were not wise, right? Don't compare yourself. Don't look to anybody. Don't look to left or right. Don't look to anybody. Look to Him and say, Lord, I believe You exist. I believe You are the God of this Bible. And I love You, what You are. I love Your Word. I love Your Spirit. I want You to live in me. Help me to get out of the way so that You can have preeminence in me. And that'll make it better for everybody that I love, everybody that I meet, if I can just get out of the way. Amen. And then we're done. You can go home then. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A Savior. The heart of God is a Savior. And so I want to talk about that. Now we realize in the end time, and I believe God, the same God that wrote this Bible, promised a prophet before the end time. An Elijah prophet. And we are witnesses.
Amen.
The reason this church was established, because it became very apparent to me that God sent a prophet to this generation, a prophet like unto Moses, a prophet like unto Elijah, and God had a special ministry for that. And I believe it was vindicated by many ways, by the scriptures, by many supernatural signs and wonders, by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, by the spirit of meekness and humility that was on the ministry. Yes, I realize many people are finding fault. Many people are walking away. That's their right to do that. For me, I saw God manifested. The man himself never claimed to be anything. He said, I'm your brother. If you love me, call me brother. But people saw so much of Christ in Brother Branham that they thought it actually was him. Now, that's what a testimony that is.
Amen.
Wouldn't you love it if there was so much of Christ in you that people actually thought you were Jesus?
Amen.
Now, of course, Brother Branham said, you can go to an extreme with that, and that's Antichrist, and some people did that.
Amen.
But we who claim to have a balance, we see God taking control of a being, filling it with the Spirit. He had the spirit of Elijah. He come to hew a church out of denominationalism.
Amen.
And Elijah had, let's face it, read the Old Testament. Elijah was rude. Elijah was bold. Elijah, he just let the chips fall where they may.
Amen.
And there were times in Brother Branham's ministry that he said things that people just can't handle. And there was a purpose in all that.
Right.
But there were also times in Brother Branham's ministry that we saw Christ come on the scene.
Amen.
And I remember just to show that Brother Branham was a human being and he wasn't always right, he goes in on that Sunday into that cafeteria, that cafe, because the Christian restaurant that he normally dined at was closed on Sunday, and he was preaching and he needed to get something to eat, and he walks into, let's say, a more worldly cafe. And he walks in there on Sunday and he sees an older woman who wasn't dressed properly, and she was maybe drinking and maybe flirting with a policeman, or I don't know what was going on. And Brother Branham stands at the door, and I'll just say the spirit of Elijah was there. Elijah is judgment, justice. And he thought, God, I don't know why You don't wipe it off the face of the earth. Now that's his own testimony. That's his own testimony. But something happened. Something wonderful happened. Jesus came on the scene. And the Spirit of God came to him. And because he's a prophet, he saw visions. And all of a sudden, he saw a vision. He was in a trance, in a vision. And he saw the world spinning around. And he saw Jesus on the cross. And then what he said is, he saw my sins. They went and they hit Jesus. And he flinched on cross. And Brother Branham said, oh, was it my sins that did that? Forgive me, Lord. And God spoke to him and says, you want me to forgive you, but you want me to wipe her off the face of the earth. And that changed everything. You know, I wish God could get to more of us like that. And when we get real judgmental and we get real hard on people, we could see, you know, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we'd all be lost. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd all be lost. And so Brother Branham changed his attitude. Jesus changed his. Jesus overruled Elijah. And because of the Spirit of Jesus, now in humility, not in haughtiness and judgmental, but in humility, he comes to that woman. He says, "Can I talk to you?" She says, "I'm already with somebody, you know." Like, he says, "No, you don't understand. I'm a preacher, and I was standing there, and I was being wrong, and I was judging you, and Jesus came to me, and he talked to her about the whole thing." And it turns out this woman was raised a Christian, and she got away from God, and she had a real hard story. You know, there's a lot of hard stories out there. There's people that are hurting out there. There's people that need God.
Amen. Amen, brother.
We're caught up in judgment and justice, and we're reflecting God. We're reflecting just one attribute, but I think the heart of God is to save.
Amen.
And so he starts to talk to her. He finds out her story. And she says, "You're not Brother Branham over there." She heard about the campaign, and yes, she said, "Do you think there's hope for me?" There is hope. There's hope because Jesus came to save sinners. Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." We're all sinners. And he said, right there in the middle of the diner, I knelt down. We had a little prayer meeting right there in the diner. I just think, oh, God. Oh, if Jesus could just have preeminence in us, how would it change our life? We who claim to be born again, what spirit is dominating our life? Is it a savior or is it a judge? We need to examine ourselves. And if you're sitting there and you don't know Christ, he's still a savior today. There's still hope today. And it's very simple. You have faith and say, "Lord, I believe you're an almighty God. Lord, I believe you know my thoughts. You see me individually. Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to have mercy on me. I want Calvary to apply to me. I want that price that you paid on the cross. I want that to apply to my life." And you make a step towards him and you just watch what he does. God has a wonderful way of revealing to us that he sees us. Now, it's very individual, and I could tell you stories about things that happened to me, and I know others, you have wonderful stories. But listen, every one of us needs to just say, "Yes, I want you, Lord. I want to be saved. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to have preeminence." Take a step towards you and watch him run to you. Watch him reveal himself to you. I know it's true. The Bible says if you seek him with all your heart, you will surely find him. Praise God. So we have seen much in the last days. Much has been revealed to us. Some people, when they look at the message of the hour, they see judgment. They see hardness. But to me, I saw love, mercy, and grace. That's what I saw. I see Christ revealing himself again. And because we have access to this ministry that's hidden to so many truths have been revealed to us. You know, God doesn't love denominationalism. That's very apparent. Prophet of God lashed out against man-made creeds and ideas. And denominationalism separates brothers. It just builds up kingdoms for men. It doesn't build up the kingdom of God. It's not inspired by God. That's very apparent. God does not love immoral living. He hates sin. I believe he loves the sinner. He died for the sinner, but he hates sin. He doesn't want us to be in sin. He came to deliver us from sin. He does not love immodest dress and the world. You know, listen, the word modesty today means something different to the modern world than it did a long time ago. See, and I believe God has high standards. Amen. If you look at what he prefers. Mm-hmm. And when you tap into the Holy Ghost, he'll lead you to his standards. His standards. Praise God. I believe God prefers humility in all things. I believe He hates a proud look, the Bible said. What about a proud heart? If He hates a proud look, a proud heart, I believe God wants heartfelt religion. Not going through the motions. Not just pretending. I believe God prefers holiness over worldliness.
Amen.
Right? I believe God desires that each and every one of us are baptized with the Holy Ghost the very same way they were on the day of Pentecost. Not a modern religion, not a modern way, not an intellectual new birth, but the very same experience they had on the day of Pentecost, that's God's desire for you and I. That came through the message of the hour. We have been given true revelation, as we said about the Godhead, the baptism, serpent seed. Many people don't understand what that means, but we have a revelation of it. And then all of a sudden, the virgin birth makes sense. Then all of a sudden we realize that why we're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies. Because we're all born of that sexual act. Jesus wasn't.
Amen.
He was created in Mary's womb. Amen. He was without original sin. So it all makes sense when we see the truth. Election, predestination, as we said, there's a difference between the church and the bride. Many people don't understand that. They think everybody's part of the bride. We see seven church ages and seven messengers as spoken of in Revelations. We see the false teachings exposed throughout Christian organizations. They don't realize they're embracing false ideas that were not inspired by the Word of God, are contrary to the Word of God. And you can tell whether somebody really has the Holy Ghost when they're presented truth from the Word of God in the Spirit of God and they hold to the creeds instead of the Word of God. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. Where's the Holy Ghost to say, yeah, I need to leave my creeds and go with the Word of God?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will do that.
Right.
We see the erosion of standards in the day we live in. Oh my. Common decency is not so common. We see the deception of the modern religious world. It's a deception. I don't know about you, but I really don't want to walk around deceived.
Amen.
I don't want to walk around in a delusion. If I'm wrong, I want God to show me I'm wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes I wonder if people would rather just walk around in delusion.
Right.
We see, by the grace of God, many things revealed to us. But in all that, what does God really want from us? And this is the question I want you to take home. This is the question I want you to pray about. What is God's eternal purpose? What is His purpose? What is His plan? How do I fit into that plan? What does He want us to do? Does He want us to walk around like know-it-alls? Does He want us to be filled with judgment and no mercy and condemn all the sinners that we meet? I don't believe that. And when I see that, it grieves me. When I see people claiming that it's the Holy Ghost lead them and all they can do is judge and condemn, I say, where is the Savior in them?
Amen.
That was the centerpiece of the revelation of God. That was the display of the heart of God, was a deliverer, was a Savior.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Where is it? Where is it? Oh Lord, let it be in us. Does He want us to be exclusive? Does He want us to... Yes, I realize God's word calls for a separation from unbelief. But does He want us to be so exclusive we don't let anybody in? Nobody comes in. Me and my four and no more. I'm saved. I don't care about you. That's not the Savior.
Amen.
That's not God. Something wrong with that. Does he want us to act just like the rest of the world? I don't think so. Does He want us to look down on people that don't have the revelations we have? I don't think so. Did He give us so much revelation so we could be puffed up with it? So we could think we're better? I don't think he did. What does God want from us? I believe he wants us to want him to live in us. I believe, yes, he wants to save us, but more than that, I believe he wants to have preeminence. Preeminence, what's that? He wants to have control. He wants us to have such a revelation of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God and the beauty of God and the benefits of him having preeminence that we say, Lord, I willingly give you my will. Not because I have to. Not because the church told me to. But I have such a revelation of the beauty of Christ. I give you my life.
Amen.
I want you to take it.
Amen.
I want you to manifest yourself again. I want you to reach out to the lost world through me. I want to watch you do it through me. It's a beautiful thing, right? He wants us to willingly yield to the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to obey out of love, not fear and dread. I believe a good fear of God is healthy, reverence for God. But see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as you get to know him, it should be love that motivates us to obey as we have a relationship with him, to love him with all of our hearts. He wants to manifest himself through us. You know, he was the Word made flesh. Will not his bride be the same? Word made flesh. Praise God. Amen. I hope I'm not taking too long today. So, he wants people to be filled with faith and love and supernatural, and he wants the church to look like a Book of Acts church.
Amen.
That's what I believe. So what do these individuals look like? Those people that are born again, baptized with the Holy Ghost, allowing the Holy Ghost to have preeminence, what will that look like? Is that what we look like? I think they'll look like Jesus. They'll act like Jesus. They'll talk like Jesus. You know, Jesus wasn't religious in my view. He was God. He was the real thing. He was the real genuine. He wasn't acting like the real thing. He was the real thing.
Amen.
And that's what I think he wants in his church. Not that they pretend to be, that they're religious about things, but that they really are filled with him and they're just letting him live through them.
Amen.
I believe that's the purpose of God. To come and reveal himself and to have a people that willingly say, yes, I want you.
Yes.
You know, it's different than the angels, right? He wanted somebody with a choice to say, yes, I want him. I choose you. Praise the Lord. You know, when I look at this, all modern religion goes away. Most of modern religion, to me, the programs, the ambitions, the carnality, the building is not the church, it's the people.
Amen.
That's the church. That's the tabernacle of God. So as we look at the attributes and we stand in awe of God and we worship the Lord Jesus, I think we need to be honest with ourselves and we need to say, is this great God within me? Is he really in me? Am I truly born again? Am I filled with the Spirit? I think we should be honest.
Amen.
Is his Spirit having preeminence in me? Now, I'm not saying this to discourage anyone because I believe you can have all that. That's why we're here. That's why I believe God has drawn each of us here and we're here today, not because we're getting bad news, but we're getting the good news is he wants to live in you. He wants to have preeminence. Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, this great eternal being, the all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent God, he wants you. Say, why would he want me? I'm no different than anybody. I can't explain why he picks people, but he wants you. You're here today because he wants you. That's what I believe. So what are we going to do about it? See, we have access to Calvary. Remember when he died on the cross? You can read in the Bible that the holies of holies veil was ripped in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and something happened. And why? Now we have direct access to the holy. We don't have to go through the priesthood. You don't have to come through me. You don't have to go through any man. You have direct access to Almighty God through faith in what he did on that cross. When you realize God came down as the Lamb of God to take his own justice on himself so you could have the benefits of the life of God. Amen. And you believe, yes, I believe he died for me. He is my sacrifice. It's not my works. It's not my righteousness. It's not my holiness. He is my righteousness. He is my holiness. Calvary paid it all. I'm not going to try and pay it again. I accept the sacrifice that he gave as mine own. And when we believe that correctly, the Spirit of the living God that was in Jesus comes back into the believer. By faith in that sacrifice, believing it was all sufficient. See, that his death, burial, and resurrection, we are right now, today, justified in the sight of God. We are as we should be, not because of our works or what we've done, but because of our simple faith in what he did for us.
Amen.
That is so real. That is more real than anything you can imagine. That we are justified in the sight of God. We are as it should be. What's the great example of justification in the Garden of Gethsemane? Peter takes out the sword and he slices off the ear of that soldier. You know, I don't think he was aiming for the ear. I think he missed, right? And he hit the ear instead of his head, and he cuts off the ear. And Jesus is like, listen, I could call 10,000 angels here. And Jesus takes the ear and he puts it back. Now, there's many witnesses say, he did it. He's guilty. But the ear, Peter was justified. Jesus justified Peter. It's just as if he never did it. And by faith in Calvary, we are justified. We are forgiven of our sins. We repent of our sins and we are forgiven and justified because of our faith in what he did for us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. We're in a justified state through simply believing by faith. Nothing in my arms I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I claim nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we can also see the three works of grace: justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we find examples in the Bible, the house of Cornelius, when that can be instantly in your life.
Amen.
You don't have to earn those things. How can you earn a gift from God? You believe and you receive a gift from God. Oh Lord, fill us with the Holy Ghost. I would that today, that just like the day of Pentecost, there comes a sound as a mighty rushing wind all through this building, and that tongues of fire would hang on each individual, and that you were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and you tried to speak in your language, and another language came out, and you didn't try to do that, but it happened because he was in you.
Amen.
You didn't try to live the life of Jesus, but you live it because it's in you.
Amen.
Praise God. Give us that experience.
Amen.
Let me just go a bit further. He says, you know, Brother Bam said something wonderful, and I think it's very important. He says, it's not to know the Word is life, it's to know Him is life. Now, look how he differentiates. Some people can't differentiate because, see, they know the Bible through an intellectual way. But knowing the Bible is not all there is. You need to know Him.
Amen.
You need to know Him by a spiritual experience, a new birth. Many people know the Bible and they interpret it the wrong way without having the Spirit. But when you have the Spirit of the living God, then the Bible is a different book then. Because now the author of that word can interpret that word and apply it correctly. Right? For instance, when Jesus said, you know, it's better for you that if you to have one eye gone to enter in without one eye, right? Did he really want you to pluck out your eye? Now, some people can read that and say, well, you better pluck out your eye, and I'll help you pluck out your eye.
All right.
Because why? Because they don't have the same spirit. Jesus was trying to tell the importance of it and how important the next life is compared to this life.
Amen.
And people misinterpret the word of God. Right? Praise the Lord Jesus. Just like, you know, my dad would say, read John 6, because he was Catholic man, and he believed that the communion in the Catholic Church was a literal sacrifice. The Bible teaches different than that.
Amen.
There was one sacrifice for sins.
Amen.
Catholic Church teaches that every Mass is a literal sacrifice, and that the priest has the power to change a little piece of bread into the literal body of Christ, and that the priest literally offers up the sacrifice of Christ in the Mass.
Amen.
That's heresy. That is so far from the gospel. He died once for sin.
Amen.
You know, you look back to Moses and the rock, and first he smote the rock, and then after that he had to speak to the rock.
Amen.
But Moses smote it the second time, and he couldn't go to the promised land.
Right.
See, that's a type of Christ died once for sin, and ever since then we speak of it.
Amen.
There are no more sacrifices for sin. So my dad used to say, read John 6, when Jesus says, unless you eat this flesh and drink this blood, you have no life in you. Okay, so you can read that, and you can have one spirit, and you can interpret it one way, and then the Catholic Church is correct, even though it's completely contrary. Their teachings are contrary. Look how the Catholic Church is being exposed today. It's a perverted system of man inspired by the devil. I have no doubt in my mind at all. But what makes me sad is the millions of people trapped under that.
Amen.
Trapped under that. Look at all the lives that were destroyed because the leadership of the church found out a man was perverted and picked him up and put him over there and covered it up. That would not happen in any other organization and have it survive. But who can war with the beast? The Roman Catholic Church is inspired by the Antichrist. That is, thus saith the Bible.
Amen.
I have no doubt in my mind at all.
Amen.
You look at that system of man and how people get caught up in that just because they have big churches, just because they have a lot of money. That has nothing to do with it. We judge things by the Word of God.
Amen.
Help us, Lord Jesus.
Good,
so, if you have the right interpretation of the Word of God, it's because the Spirit of God who wrote the Word is there in you, with you, showing you the truth of it. That's why you have to receive the Holy Ghost. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Christ in you is the mystery, the hope of glory. That's what it's all about. When we look at this great God, the one and only God, there's many attributes in history. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. Is he your provider today?
Amen.
Yes, he wants to be your provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. I am the Lord that healeth all thine diseases.
Amen.
He's still a healer today.
Amen.
By his stripes we were healed.
Amen.
Jehovah Nissa, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. He is our peace. You say, I need peace. I need rest. You can find all that in Christ, in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our rest. When you enter into the Holy Ghost, that's our Sabbath. Remember, God worked 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested, ceased from his own works. And he said, keep the Sabbath day. And you know, some people say keeping the Sabbath day is going to church. But if you look in the Old Testament, it was do no work. They couldn't pick up sticks. They couldn't do anything. That's why they ended up just worshiping, because they couldn't do anything else. But to keep the Sabbath was not to keep a certain day. Paul talks about it in Hebrews. He is our Sabbath. The Holy Ghost is our rest. This is the rest. With stammering lips and other tongues, I'll speak to this people. It's the Holy Ghost is the rest that we enter. So we don't just celebrate the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath one day a week. We keep the Sabbath every minute of every day by being in Christ, baptized into one body. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Say, well, I can't find any rest. I can't find any peace. Listen, there's peace in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Receive ye the Holy Ghost. He's joy unspeakable.
Amen.
Jehovah, Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah, all these other Jehovah attributes. The Lord our righteousness. The Lord is present. Jehovah Shammah. He's God. Look at all these attributes of God. He is so wonderful. We can't tap even the surface of it today. But the message that's on my heart is, what's God's purpose? This great God, He wants to live in us. He wants to manifest that life again through us, which will be supernatural. Don't be afraid of supernatural. When you hear a supernatural testimony, don't be instantly a skeptic. God is supernatural.
Amen.
You say, well, if it didn't happen to me, then probably didn't happen. What an attitude. I don't think God appreciates that. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'll just give you a few more. Oh, there's too much. See, I got too many notes. I just can't. All right, I'll try and finish up. He is the searcher of all hearts. Just bear with me for a moment. He is the judge of all. He is a sanctuary. He's a refuge. He's our hiding place. Amen. You know, when I need a place to hide, I go to Him. I don't go to another human being because I don't trust that they're going to do the right thing. He's my counselor, to be honest. I realize there's probably a lot of good counselors out there. God bless them. But Jesus is my counselor. He's the Prince of Peace. He's an everlasting Father. He's the mighty God.
Amen.
He's a jealous God.
Amen.
He'll have no other gods before Him, right? He's the source of power, all power. He's a comforter. He's the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. God is the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes to you, did you know Jesus said He'll show you things to come? How many knows that's in the Bible?
Amen.
He will show you things to come. Praise God. How many has had that experience with the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. He'll show you things to come. He is so many things. We don't have enough time to express it. He's worthy to be worshipped, you know, and He's the only one that is worthy. Don't worship anybody else. Don't worship a preacher. Don't worship your husband, your wife, your father, your mother. Don't worship any human being. There's only one God, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He's the only one in the Bible that it was permitted to have worship is Jesus Christ. Praise God. You know, Israel's coming out of Egypt. I'm trying to finish. Israel's coming out of Egypt. Slaves in bondage for hundreds of years. And what did God do? He set them free.
Amen.
Do you know that God loved to be known? He would talk about it. I am the God that delivered you out of Egypt. He wants to be that to you. He wants you to think of Him as deliverer, as savior, as refuge. He's the deliverer. They were trapped against the Red Sea. We sang about it. And He rolled back the waters. You believe that? They were trapped. The Egyptian army's coming this way. The Red Sea's over here. They're complaining, why did you bring us out of Egypt to die out here? Speak and go forward. And God just moved aside the Red Sea. And the Bible says to me, they didn't walk over muddy ground. They walked on dry ground. Did He do it?
Amen.
And they go over dry ground, and the Egyptians were stopped by a pillar of fire. Right? Which was darkness to the Egyptians, but gave light to Israel. See, the gospel's the same way. It gives light to believers, but it blinds the unbelievers. Unbelief blinds people. So then after the children of Israel get over, the pillar of fire goes away. He says, all right, go ahead in. And the Egyptians go in to the Red Sea. He takes their wheels off, and He just covers the Egyptian army with the sea. He wipes out the enemy of Israel.
Amen.
See, when Christians, you really should get to the place where you understand God as your Father so much that if someone's bad to you, you're afraid for them. You're not angry at them.
Amen.
I've seen it time and time again. If someone speaks against you, you should immediately go to prayer. Oh, God, have mercy.
Amen.
Because He will defend His own. He will destroy the enemies of His chosen ones. God help us to remember that.
Amen.
He's a deliverer for Israel. Oh, there's so much I would like to share. You know, David knew God was a... You know, David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? But he did things that were wrong, God didn't like the wrong things that he did, but David, there was something about David, and I believe David loved to worship God. God revealed himself to David, and he worshiped. Can I just read a couple Psalms just real quick? Psalm 27. I think it's such a good example, and I'm trying to finish up. I know I said that. This is more important than wherever you have to go today. I'm sorry, but I won't take too long. Psalm 27, verse 1. Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now look at David's attitude towards God. Whom shall I fear? That should be our attitude. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not up over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David had a revelation.
Amen.
He knew that God is a Savior. Look at Psalm 37, a couple verses there, verse 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. You know, what's strange about some people that are Christians, they'll serve God when everything's going well. When things go bad, they forget about God.
That's right.
He's there for the time of trouble.
Amen.
David understood that. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. David trusted in God. We need to trust in God, not only when things are going right, but when things are going completely wrong. That's when you need to trust in God. That's when he'll reveal himself as a mighty conqueror and a mighty deliverer and a savior. And when there is no way, he makes a way where there is no way.
Amen.
He gives hope when it's hopeless. He gives rest to the weary. Psalm 62, verse 1. Another Psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. It's okay to repeat things. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them.
Amen.
God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, Job, he said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust in him.
Amen.
He trusted in God when everything was going wrong. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. He had a revelation. Can I read from Jonah chapter 2, verse 1?
Amen.
Jonah's trapped in the belly of the whale. I'm trying to show you he's always been a savior and he'll always be a savior.
Amen.
Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All my billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Can you imagine Jonah in the belly of the whale? How desperate is that condition? I'd say you're not in that desperate of a condition today. No matter how bad it is, you can still turn to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. See, don't believe the conditions. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Oh, there's a revelation in that. I will pay thee that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. Praise God. In the midst of that terrible condition. In the midst of that horrible condition, God came and saved him. And you know, Jonah still needed some more lessons. Because he went down to Nineveh, and then when God had mercy, he complained about it. He would have rathered God had judgment on the people of Nineveh. He experiences mercy and deliverance. God takes him down to Nineveh to preach to them about their sin. But then when they repent, he wants judgment on them. You know, sometimes we're guilty of that. Sometimes we experience mercy from God, we experience grace from God, and yet when we go to other people, we want judgment on them. Judge them, fire, destroy. Even the disciples of Jesus said that. Should we call fire down from heaven? He said, you know not what spirit you're of. He said, the Son of Man came to save, not to destroy men's lives. Praise God. Oh, there's so many others. Zacchaeus, we can see how God went to him. And then when Zacchaeus said, I'll make things right, Jesus said, salvation has come to this house today. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That's why he came. My challenge to you today is, if he lives in you, is he still a savior? Is the Holy Ghost still a Savior in you?
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. I want to read one more scripture while you're standing. Romans chapter 8. What an opportunity. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, my mind always goes back to Job. When he stood in your presence, he said, I've spoken things too wonderful for me. Lord, I know you're real. I know one day you touched me, Lord. I'll never be the same. Lord, I don't want to be what I was. I want to be what you want me to be, Lord. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord. Forgive us where we've grieved you. Lord, lead us in your paths, the paths of life. Teach us your ways, O God. Draw us to yourself. Forgive us where we've manifested a wrong spirit. May the Savior live again in us, Lord. Bless each one that's here. Lord, if there's one here that's never really invited you in, Lord, we give them an opportunity today. If you're here and you'd like to say, Jesus, I want you to live in me, just lift your hand up to God. Jesus, I want you to live in me. Amen. God bless you. He sees you. Jesus, live in me, Lord. Forgive me, oh God. Maybe you are a Christian and you just want to say, Lord, I want you to have preeminence in me, Lord. I've been so busy with my things. I want to get busy with your things. Just lift up and say, God, have mercy on me. Have preeminence in me, Lord. Yes, oh Lord Jesus. Bless each one today, Lord. You see the condition of every heart and every soul. Lord, I give them to you. I place them into your hands. They're yours, oh God. They're not mine. They're yours. I bring them to you, and we rest them at the foot of the cross. And Lord, we just say, wash them, make them clean. Wash them and make them whiter than snow. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Heal our bodies and our minds and our spirits, O God. Set the captives free. Destroy the works of the enemy, Lord. I thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. He's worthy. You know, one day we're going to see him.
Amen.
One day we're going to see him. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. All the angels bow before him.